not by people in the world. I expect them to cut the fool and act like sinners. But sometimes you need delivered from the church. I don't want to get into something and ruin a good message and not preach it. But what I want you to understand is that there is, in every congregation, there is two groups of youngins. They're all children of somebody. Some are children of God. Some are children of the devil. In every church, there are the saints and the ain'ts. In every movement, there is somebody that has a desire to be exalted. The motives that are wrong. The word, the conception of something that could be just pure, washed, free, righteous, and holy. And if I understand right, I've asked three or four, and I really wanted to sit down with Brother Pepper and just have a conversation. We haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. But I wanted to know more about this. But if I understand right, the name of this alliance or fellowship, whatever you want to call it, is Holiness Pentecostal Ministers Alliance, right? If it's Pentecostal holiness, I adjure you, put holiness first. Because we were called to be holy before we were called to be Pentecostal. And if we're not holy, we can't be Pentecostal. And to be holy is not to just identify with one's standard of life, or one's desire to be seen as different, or one's desire to look peculiar. But to be holy is to be free from sin. And once we are holy, we are qualified to be Pentecostal. And to be Pentecostal is to have the divine presence of God resting in you. He said, "It's expedient that I go away." That was hard for people to understand, that was enjoying the Son of God being there, touchable, tangible, in the flesh. I can feel you. I can touch you. I can see what you're doing. But he said, it's expedient that I go away, because it's a whole different manner. Who I'm sending back, he ain't going to be among you. He's going to be in you. And what we want in us is something that we got to become holy first. And to become holy, it's again, it's more than just some doctrine that we teach. It's more than just clothes that we put on. It's more than the modesty of our apparel. It's more than just the guarding of our speech. But it is the motive that is behind our praise. It is the intent that is behind our service that says this ain't for anybody else. If nobody else sees it, God, it's okay with me, because my only desire is to be seen by you. And if I can get your attention, it doesn't matter how big my adversary is. If you get in the mix, it doesn't matter what enemy comes, what problem arises. I can stand flat-footed and know that I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me, because what I got on the inside is greater than what's in the world. But then we're all called to be not just holy and Pentecostal, but ministers. We can't minister to one another. If we can't restore and help and pick up and love, how do I do that when they've done so much wrong? Just a real jolt of your memory of who you are. How many times God's mercy and grace has restored you and brought you back to His love. And you stand many times receiving grace and daily benefits that you're undeserving of. But it's not because of any great thing you've done or because you have a life that is free from mistake. It's because His mercies were new again this morning. Hallelujah. That's something I can get behind. I'll stand in alliance with that. If we desire to be holy, Pentecostal ministers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
follow the leading of the Spirit right here. I really do. I really feel like what we have had here tonight is extraordinary. It's different. It's out of character. It's what we need. If you would, give me just a few moments. Open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of my system because I want you to understand what I'm about to say is that I feel like just the least of the least. I look around and there's great, great men that's among us tonight. Long time reputation preceding them. And I am nowhere near the elder in this room. Count it a great privilege to get to carry this gospel. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the opportunity. But I don't feel like this is my spot. I want you brothers to know that. I feel the least of you. But I do feel like the Lord has laid a few things on my heart. I don't know what all God's going to do. I like what Brother Pepper said. We're not sure. I want an inspired move of God. I would like something unpredictable this week. I'm not saying unpredictable as in something that's crazy and wild, off the wall, wildfire. I'm saying something that, you know, we have imaginations that we believe God can do things. But he says he goes exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or we can think. So would it be all right tonight if he just blew your mind one night? Did something you couldn't even think to ask him? Man. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I want to read these, and I'm going to just do my best to just unload what's on my heart very quickly, okay? Now, Brother Jason took up all the good preaching time last night. Preached for a solid hour. I was hoping he was in here to hear that. I was wasted. Sorry. 2 Samuel 22, verse 4, the Bible says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. The psalmist says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. I'm going to read that 8th verse again. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. I want to issue this as a challenge tonight, and I'm going to be totally honest. This is going to be the quick version of this because I don't want to hold you long. But I feel like some of you prayed because you felt like the water was troubled and you carried a need. Others of us have reserved our prayer for when we hear something that we need to pray about. And I've come to serve notice on everybody in this room. There's nobody here that doesn't have a need to pray about. Some of us just have not identified the need yet. But I'm about to give you the need, okay? We're in distress. Our churches are in trouble. We have problems throughout our land. There's so much division amongst races, amongst humanity, amongst political parties, amongst churches. And what I want you to understand is that all of this is changeable. It's fixable. But it's not something that we do. It's something that God does. And so if the Lord would help me for just a few moments, if you'll give me just a few minutes of your time, I'm going to deliver this just from my heart. Your mission I want to ask you if tonight, if you would accept it, your mission, should you choose to accept it. You tonight have the power and the ability to move him. Hallelujah. I didn't intend for you to stand up. Go ahead and be seated for just a minute. I want to say a few things that are so elementary, and they are so, so simple, that some of you are going to wonder why I'm saying it. But I want to say this emphatically. First of all, God is should have got a better amen.
God, unlike any other comparison, is real. But then secondly, God is alive, Brother Mark.
Hallelujah.
His word says that his word alone is quick and powerful. That word quick does not translate as fast, but it translates as alive.
Hallelujah.
I believe that you and I, if we're not careful, it is so possible to be so consumed with oneself that we really feel like in and of ourselves that we have it going on. That it's me that wakes myself up every morning. That it's me that keeps me healthy. That it's me that charts my own fate. It's me that has plenty of time because I am doing everything I can to make sure that my time is something I'm keeping track of. Not realizing completely and totally that we are all 100% dependent upon God. That no man has the ability to add or extend to his life or to take away any more than what God dictates to us. But God, he is unlike any other idol that even Isaiah warned us about. God is alive. Isaiah warned us of gods that had eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear and mouths that had no ability to speak. But this God, Jehovah, the whole existence of Jehovah is that he is alive. And because he is Jehovah, that word means that he is self-existing. It means that you and I must understand, in other words, that he doesn't need any of our help to make him be. The old timers used to say he's God all by himself. And he don't need the help of anybody else to make him God. This is the reason why God gave commandment to Moses. I began to read this and man, this stirred me up again. Telling the children of Israel, this was their command. You're coming out of Egypt. I'm going to deliver you out of there. You have spent the last hundreds of years around idols. That has been something that has plagued your mind and your mentality. And it's been something that has just consumed your thought. They had an idol for everything. Isis, the sun god. I find that there was another god named Horus, the god of the sky. Seth, the god of chaos. They had an idol for everything. But God says to them, I'm going to deliver you out of all that. And what I need you to not do is mimic what I'm bringing you out of. I'm going to say that again. I don't want you to mimic anything that I'm bringing you out of, because I want you to understand that I'm the God that brought you out, and I don't need you to bring anything from where you was over into Christianity to make it plausible or to make it authentic. Just leave that where you found it. Man, I wish some of us would understand that anything that we bring over trying to make God more palatable, trying to make God more accepted, God doesn't need any of those things. He says in Exodus, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the sea. What's he saying? He's saying, don't bring me water. Don't bring me stones. Don't shape me some type of wood, because I'm not stone. I'm not water. I'm not wood. I'm alive. I'm not any of those things. I'm alive. I said he's alive. He is not anything that we can construct or anything that we can control. He is a God that is a God of the living and not a God of the dead. I feel like I've established that. Let me switch gears and I'll come back to it. Because now we're in a generation that lives this way, even especially more so even after COVID-19. It seems like everybody has an excuse why they don't need to come to church. Preacher, I'm so glad that the church is in us because that means, you know, I'm safe anyway. And I really don't have to come to church. And I don't need to be in the sanctuary because the church is in me. Isn't it amazing? You know, people that got problems with coming to the church are people that don't want to be there. Everybody coming, they're fine with coming to church. But there's a group, it seems like, is so eager to justify their absence in the sanctuary. But if you'll give me about 5 minutes, I want to explain that the whole idea of the sanctuary was not a man-made product. It was God's idea from the beginning. It was God that told Moses, come up on this mountain and I'm going to give you a pattern that is going to be for my house. I want you to make me a sanctuary. He said, I'm going to tell you what I want in my house. I thought about Brother Jason Pepper and Trailblazer Homes. Whenever you sit down and do a consultation, you don't look at them and say, this is what you're getting, this is what I'm giving you, and this is the kind of house you're going to get and you're going to like it. No, you sit there and you get their input and you ask what their desire is and what their taste is and what is it that you want in your house. Can I just say this? We designed our house the way we want to. Don't you tell God how to design His. I wish some of us would go ahead and let God go ahead and design His own house. Hallelujah. If you read the Bible, you'll find it right there in Exodus chapter 25 that God takes Moses up to the mount and He says, this is going to be the pattern of my house. I want gold in it. I want brass in it. I want shittim wood and I want badger skin that's hair dyed purple. I want this dyed red and that dyed purple and blue. He gave explicit details and directions on how to build His house. And now the purpose of that house was not just something that was a representative of where God was, but He said, I want you to put that right in the middle of your people. Put it in the middle of the camp because I'm going to come down and I'm going to live in that sanctuary. Hallelujah. Can I tell somebody, there wasn't much in there. Maybe some shoe bread. There were some things, some articles that we know of. It wasn't anything real fancy, but God was in it. I said God was in it. Its purpose was so that God could come down and dwell with His people, representing that one day these bodies would become the temple that He desired to dwell in, and He would make lowly humanity a place that He lived and abided. But whenever it was time to move, before they would do anything, they would talk to God. They would get a word. They'd make sure they received instructions. And once they got those instructions, the priests would put the ark on their shoulders and would go first into the battle. Why would they do this? They went first into the battle because there is confidence and there is great resolve in knowing that God is going before me into my battle. Hallelujah. Can I tell somebody we need to move God? I said, we need to move God. The whole idea was to have a God that was transient, to have a God that moved, to have a God that whatever situation I found myself in, I had the understanding that I was not in that fight by myself. I wasn't in it by myself, but the God that I serve was going before me. He was as much a part of the fight as I was. Oh, can I tell somebody, it is high time that we make up our mind that I'm not going to worship without Him. I'm not going to have church without Him. I'm not going to try to counsel without Him. We're in a fight. We're in a struggle. The devil's trying to get us in every way, shape, and form that he can. But I induce you as a church. I include everyone, everybody from the young to the old. You have a responsibility to make up your mind that I'm going to follow a God that is moving. But for Him to move, it's my responsibility. responsibility to clearly call out with a cry that is distinctive. Lord, I'm going somewhere I don't want to go by myself. I'm doing something I don't want to be a part of by myself. I wish we as a church would make up our mind that my desire is to move God in the direction of the needs that I have. Genesis, we find it clearly explained, the original premise. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Darkness, chaos, no really understanding of what life was supposed to be, a creation. But God's Spirit moved. Darkness, and then He moved. No real order, then He moved. God, help me to get this across the way I feel it. There's a lot of things that we could try to structure, but it's not going to do any good until He moves. Isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to have God move because it shows some activity. And so sometimes, if I read this right, He will move even before He speaks. The Spirit of God moved, and then God said. He's moving, and then He speaks. I just need to know. I'm almost done. I really am. But I need to know, do I have anybody that you may not have clear direction yet because you haven't heard the audible voice? But there's something on the inside that makes you want to sit on your hands to keep from clapping because you feel a stirring. And all of a sudden you know God's moving. You don't know exactly what He's going to do. You don't know the absolute direction. But something in you is making you happy because you know that God is on the move. You ought to be happy just because He's moving. What's He going to do, Brother Pepper? We ain't got any idea what the full conclusion of this meeting's going to be, but it ought to make you excited just to know that He's moving. Why'd you come tonight? I came because I was anticipating that God was going to move. What's He going to do? I don't know the conclusion yet, but I'm excited just because I know that He's moving. My great-grandmother, on my dad's side, my grandmother Hatfield, my great-grandmother was a Browning. And she got real old but didn't want to leave her house. She was in right up almost 90. I think she lived till she was 92. And she didn't want to live anywhere but there in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. And so me and my cousin were real young. I mean, 10, 11 years old. But grandma could move around, and she was able to get around, but nobody felt safe leaving her alone at night. And so there was always somebody had to stay with her. Well, whenever I come home, it was always asked of me and my cousin. We were two months apart. You and Matt's going to go stay at Great Grandma Brownie's tonight. Now, for a lot of people, that would sound like a boring thing to go hang out with a 92-year-old lady. But me and Matt would look at each other and smile. We get over to Great Grandma's. Boy, she'd put you to bed at night. She'd put 152 blankets on you so heavy you couldn't move. It didn't matter. It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock that morning. You'd hear the floor. Some feet shuffling. That was Grandma going to the kitchen. That's where you wanted her to go. It'd be dark. I'd roll over and wake up Matt. Say, is that Grandma? Yeah, I think so. It wouldn't be very long at all. We'd begin to smell something. Homemade biscuits and gravy and pancakes and eggs and bacon. And so it didn't bother us. It was 4 o'clock in the morning and dark. We heard something moving, and it excited us. And we didn't know what she was cooking that morning, but we knew it was going to be good. We was glad she was moving, because we knew something. I wish somebody'd hear me, because we don't know what God's going to do this week. I've come with great anticipation, and there's something tonight. When I walked in the room, I felt like I could smell the savor of something that God desired to be in this place. And as we began to worship, I can feel you and I inducing the move of God. Because when we cry out in our distress, the whole purpose of this is because we need each other. We need some guidelines. We need some accountability. We need somebody to lift us up when we're down. I don't know about you, it makes me feel good to know that I travel in a pack, that if I fall behind, they're obligated to pick me up. Hallelujah. It makes me feel good to know that there's times that I'm the one that feels I'm in the front, and I feel good, but I see somebody struggling, and it makes me feel good to remember when I was the one struggling, and I can return the favor and lend a hand and just console somebody. Let them know you ain't alone. You ain't alone. You ain't by yourself. Man, I've come to tell somebody that if we'll continue to travel together, we'll make up our mind that this is going to be about God and not us. Can I tell you, it becomes a reality that you and I don't have to be able to dictate the outcome. We just know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and that are the called according to His purpose. I'm almost done, but I want to tell somebody on Monday night, something good is on the way. Something good is on the way. This is just the crust of the cream off the top. We've been serving God long enough that we ought to be able to anticipate something good is about to happen. How do you know it, preacher? Because I feel Him moving. I said I feel Him moving. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but the whole idea of Him being alive is proven in His movement. So what we need to see is God moving, because things happen and take place when God is on the move in our life. This whole psalm is written during a time that God delivered David from his enemies. David had a lot of enemies, but what he understood is that he didn't need to be able to move his enemies. He just needed to move God. Man, I wish some of y'all hadn't got all your shout out. Because there's something on the inside of me that I want you to understand. There's going to be some adversaries, even to the conception of this fellowship. There's going to be people that's probably already got their lips on it, talking about it. There's going to be individuals that's going to say there ain't no need for it. There'll be individuals that'll say that it really, really just doesn't make sense. There's going to be all kinds of things spoken. But can I just submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it doesn't matter to me what adversary comes against us or what anybody has to say, because I understand that if I move Him, God handles my light work for me. I said, I know the enemy may come in like a flood, but when he comes in that way, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The devil wants to make us fret, wants to make us fear, but what he does not want you to do is turn your face to the wall and begin to stir up God. And rather than us trying to address what the world is saying around us, I wish we'd just make up our mind that for the next few nights, I'm going to forget about what they're saying, how big the giant is. I'm just going to move God. I'm going to move God. I'm going to move Him with my prayer. Going to move Him with my fasting. Going to move Him with my praise. My mission this week is to move God. This psalm is written in past tense. I said I was done. I am. It's written in past tense. Some folks feel like for me to praise God, I need to be overwhelmed with some kind of emotion, get some hype going, the right tune, the right beat, and I'll praise God. Now, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with an emotional praise. We're emotional people. But the best kind of praise is an intelligent. I'm not just acting off my emotion. But if you see tears running down my face,
It's because I just remembered what he's already done. God, help me right here. There's a story behind my hands that are lifted. You may not know about it. You can't tell it like I can tell it because you don't know it like I know it. You weren't where I was, but I can tell you right now that there's a reason behind the reason I lift both hands and I say I love you, God. When I talk about that he's worthy of more praise than anybody else, it's because he's done more for me than anybody else has. Man, somebody ought to say amen. I'm finishing right here. Can I tell you that I'm not just emotional, but I'm praising him for what he has already done. The Bible says that he delivered me from all my enemies, not just the Philistines, but he also delivered him from the house of Saul. Can I say that tonight, that you and I aren't just being delivered from a world that's in turmoil, but we can be a church that's set apart as a beacon. We can have a standard that stands a little higher. We can have a love that goes a little farther. We can have a forgiveness that goes a little deeper. We can have a shout that lasts a little longer. We can have a praise that resounds a little purer. We can have hands that clap a little bit harder. We can have something that's a little greater, because God has not just delivered me from the world, but I've been delivered from public opinion of my peers. The church is something that needs to arise and declare that I'm here for one purpose. I'm here for one goal, that it's to be in his presence and for his presence to change my life for eternity. I want us to do it this way, because some of us are anticipating what God's going to do this week. I can't wait to see it. I know he's already moving. But if you really want to move him, Sister Lindsay, can you come back? If you really want to move him, I'm asking you to get ready to give him an intelligent prayer. Okay, I want your mind to go to a place giants dwelt that you didn't think you could see your way through. It's so good to see my friend Mitch Boggs walk in. I'll never forget, it's not been that long ago, last year, getting a phone call. Pray for Mitch. Been in a bad motorcycle accident. They sent me the picture. Scary. There's something right now. It's in the past. There's been a lot of days in between. But every time there's a step without it, every time you can speak a full sentence without slurring, and you can use a hand, there's an intelligent phrase. Amen. I'm believing God's going to save my family. I'm believing God's going to work on my church. I'm believing God's going to send us a revival. I believe that God's going to tie us so tight together that there's nothing that can pull us apart. But until that happens, I'm going to give him an intelligent praise that says, where would I be if it had not been for the Lord? Some of us tonight, if we're not careful, we see what's moving, what's going on, and we think about it. Thank God for those that are being touched. They don't have a real pressing need at the moment. But if he's done more for you than anybody else has, it's no effort. Feel that? Is that anticipation? Not sure what's about to happen, Brother Daniel. I feel him moving. I feel him moving. Feel him moving. Why is he moving? Because somebody's crying out of distress and they've got an intelligent praise. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Don't let it die out. I wish somebody go ahead and press it a little harder and say, you know what, he's worthy of even a little more audible praise. Oh, that's a moving speech, preacher. That may be a moving prayer. Can I tell somebody, I believe that we can move him with our praise. Hallelujah. Why? Because everything that is able to be shaken is about to be shaken, because God is on the move.
You ought to look at your adversaries and go ahead and serve notice. You better watch yourself. You're in trouble, buddy, because God is moving. I said God is moving. If you're an enemy, if you're an adversary, you better get out of the way because God's moving. I said, what's he going to do? Well, it's up to him. But whatever he does, it'll be right. It'll be right. It'll be on time. It'll be perfect. Hallelujah. I've come to tell somebody that I feel God moving. I feel right in the midst of division in our country. I feel God moving. Right in the middle of services that we couldn't have together. We at our home church have had young people that I couldn't get to sit in a service come back from COVID, washed in the blood, saved, born again. God got a hold of them in the shower. They come out and told mom and dad, I had to pray because conviction was all over me. What do you say? I feel God moving. He may not do it in the way that we're seeing or the way that we're thinking, but I believe that it's our purpose, it's our design in 2020 to move God. Oh, hallelujah. You're a I'm going to ask every individual that can, that's physically able, stand to your feet all over this room. And if you're born again, just begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Just begin to give him an intelligent praise. Lord, I thank you for the breath that's breathing through my lungs right now. It's COVID free. God, I thank you for the blood that has washed me. It's not because I've never committed a sin, but I'm sin free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you, Lord, for my family. It's not divided, God, but it's united. Thank you, Lord, for my children that are saved, that are healthy, and that are whole. God, I give you praise that there's this many men that can gather in this room with their wives and put aside any pride or division, big eyes or little U's, and unite under one name, one cause. Oh, God, one purpose. Lord, I pray tonight that you would move in this place and for the rest of this week, Lord, that it would be our desire with our prayer, with our praise and our worship to move you in our direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God leading me to do this right here. I feel like some of us have some specific things that we need to God for God to move in those directions, in those situations. So I'm going to just ask you to begin to pray about those situations right now. God, I need you to move in that situation. God, I need you to move in that direction. I need you to make a way because, God, it's something that's beyond me. I'm not going to look to my own ability. I'm not going to reach around and try to find somebody to help me. God, I just need to move you. I 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 can't cry enough tears, but I can move you. Can't carry the weight on my own, but I can move you. I can't right the wrong, but I can move you. Hallelujah. Move God. Move God. Move God. Holy Ghost is still in this room, folks. Move God. When he moves, wounds are healed. When he moves, lives are changed. When he moves, glory, there's peace, there's righteousness, there's love. He moves. Hallelujah. 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 God, I give you praise. I thank you tonight. We're here tonight not because of our tenacity or because of our ability, not because of any talent we possess. God, we're here because you moved. I'm done. I'm getting ready to give this mic back to Brother Pepper. But I want to let you in on a little secret. He's easily moved by the feelings of our infirmities. He's easily moved by the things that move us. Confess to Him, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need You to move. Jesus has moved. Has moved. Is it all right as Brother Pepper comes? There's a little girl in our church. She was born with all kinds of physical handicaps. And they have tried to keep her pretty much away from everything during this virus outbreak. I got a call right before church as I was getting ready to walk in. They were rushing her to the emergency room. She had something in her lungs. And thinking they were going to have to do some kind of surgery to get it out. I'm going to ask us as a joint body, could you help me move, God? Her mom's name is V. Her last name is Gardner. I'm going to ask just for a moment, would you give me maybe 60 seconds of your time? Help me bombard heaven. Move for her. God, I pray right now, Lord, that You'd move. You know, whatever this is, God, whatever it is that's stopping her from breathing, God, the health complications that she has fought for oh so long, I plead the blood of Jesus. You sent Your word and You healed them. Tonight I plead the blood and I stand on the promises of the word, God, that You'll go to where she is and that You'd heal her body. God, You'd remove this problem. God, we curse it in the name of Jesus. Let her lungs return to natural function and breathing. Of her ailments that she's facing, God, I pray right now, Lord, that You'd make her completely whole. God, we as a body are trying to get Your attention, asking You to move in that direction. God, whether they take her to Valdosta or Tifton, wherever she is, God, You know it. God, I pray You'd move for that family. Move for the Gardeners. Just prove Yourself real to them. Heal that baby. God, I give You an intelligent praise right now, because when I was a baby, You healed me from a hole in my heart. God, I know that You can heal babies. God, I know You care about lives. And I thank You, Lord, that You healed my sister when the doctor said that she'd be mentally and physically retarded. God, she's normal today because You moved. God, I pray right now, Lord, that You'd move in their direction. Do what You always do. Move, God, just move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.